Good morning, everyone. So we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you speak to each and every one of us. Open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that written not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And open our ear that we can hear, and open our mind that we can understand what you have told us, and help us to be able to walk in it so that we be truly blessed by you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In order to have the mind of Christ, in order to understand the scripture, there are certain way we have to do. There are certain way we have to be changed in order to understand. First, in chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said that, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. You write that down. This is the right attitude. Chapter 2, verse 3. When you come to Jesus, you have to come with the right attitude. Paul, he used to be very, very strong. And he persecuted Christians. And now, when he become follower of Jesus Christ, he said that, I came to you in weakness. And I want you to write that down right beside, I came to you in weakness. You write down 1:27. The reason why Paul came to the church of Corinth in weakness, because he knows that. At first he didn't know. Now he knows that. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Before he came to know Christ, he thought he's a strong man. He thought he knows everything. He thought he can do everything by his own strength. Until he met Jesus Christ, he realized God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Right beside the weak things of the world to shame the strong, you write down, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished that they took note that this man has been with Jesus. But since they could see that the man who has been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Paul, thinking that he himself is a strong man, he thinks that he is a wise man, he thinks that he understands the Old Testament, and yet he cannot preach as good as the ordinary man, unschooled man like Peter and John, and they are fishermen. They are uneducated, and yet they have power to heal the sick. He himself thinking that he knows the Old Testament, and yet he cannot heal other people. When they see the man who was healed standing with Peter and John, they remain silent. They have nothing to say. Brother and sister, if you think you are strong, you won't have the mind of Jesus Christ. But until you humble yourself, you realize that God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I want you to write that down right beside 1:27. You write down 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, all the way to verse 10. I read that to you and tell you why. If you want to know the Bible and understand God's word, the first thing you have to do, your attitude has to be right. If you are a proud man, thinking that you are strong, you have to humble yourself and to become weak. Verse 7. Paul said that, to keep me from becoming conceited because of this surpassingly great revelation, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, I want you to circle the word, my power, the power of Jesus Christ, is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, delight in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The right attitude has to be weak. If you think you are strong, you won't understand God's word. When you read the Bible, you will understand nothing. The right attitude is very, very important. The first attitude before God, you have to be weak and confess to the Lord that God, only Jesus Christ is strong and you are weak. Secondly, when you come to Jesus, you have to come in fear and with much trembling. Right beside with fear, I want you to turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 12. Who then is the man that fear the Lord? When you fear the Lord, here are the benefits. The Lord will instruct you in the way chosen for you. You don't know what happened tomorrow. You don't know what you should choose, what you should go, where you should go, what you should do. But the Lord will instruct you in the way chosen for you. That is good for you. Then you can spend your day in prosperity, and your descendant will inherit the land. Verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. How did the Lord confide in those who fear him? The Lord make known his covenant to them. Make known his word to them. I want you to write that down. When you fear the Lord, you know God's word. When you read God's word, you understand. You don't fear him, you won't understand God's word, and you will suffer pain until you humble yourself to become weak, to become fear and trembling. Then you start understanding him. I want you to write that down right beside, make his covenant known to them. When the Lord rebuild you, you don't argue with him. You humble yourself and submit to him. Just like what the Proverbs say, chapter 1, verse 22. How long will you simple one love your simple way? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fool hate knowledge? If you have responded to my rebuke, the Lord say, I would have poured out my heart to you. You circle the word my heart. You can change it to my spirit. My heart, you can change it to my spirit. My to you. The moment Saul, when he met Jesus in Acts chapter 9, he turned around. When the Lord rebuked him, he responded to the Lord rebuked, and then the Lord poured out his heart, his spirit, his mind to him. And that's why in conclusion, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul said that we have the mind of Christ. We have the spirit of Christ. We have the thoughts of Christ. If you want to have the spirit of Christ, the word of Christ, the thoughts of Christ, the hearts of Christ, you have to respond to the Lord revealed to you. Do not argue to him with him. I want you to turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. If you have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured my heart to you, my spirit to you, and my mind to you, and make my thoughts known to you. The word my thought, you can translate to my words. That is exactly the same as Psalm 24, verse 14, my covenant. The one who has the right attitude, just like Paul said in chapter 2, verse 3, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling, with the right attitude, then you understand God's word. Without the right attitude, you won't understand God's word. That's why What's the name of my title of this sermon, Gene? Forget it. Speak louder. Why Paul served God with fear and trembling? Because he wanted to serve God with the right attitude. If you don't serve God with the right attitude, your ministry is in vain. When you serve God with the right attitude, in weakness, in fear, and in trembling, and the Lord said, when you preach, you're going to preach with power, because I make my word known to you. I make my covenant known to you, not known to other people. You come to God. You have to come to God with humility and the fear of the Lord. Right beside 2, 3, you write down Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Humility and the fear of the Lord will bring wealth, life, prosperity, and honor and glory to you. You want to destroy yourself? You come before God with boldness, then you are in deep trouble. And you won't understand him, and you will suffer so much pain until you back down. You come to God, you have to come to God with the right attitude, with humility and with the fear of the Lord. You humble yourself, you come to God in weakness, and he will make you strong. Because God say, my power will rest upon you. And when you boast in your weakness, then the Lord's power will sustain you and give you power. I don't know whether you remember, and Paul said that, Jesus Christ is God's power, is God's wisdom. He wants to have God's power. He wants to have God's wisdom. He found a way. In order to be powerful, you have to come in weakness. In order to come with wisdom, you have to come with fear and trembling. I thank God for this godly servant. Show us the way and how can we get blessing. If you think that you are strong, you have no power from Jesus Christ. His power will not rest upon you. Okay? And where's the unschooling people like Paul and like Peter and John? They are ordinary men. They come to God with humility. They pray to God all the time. And God's power is with them. The Holy Spirit come upon them. Just like what the Bible says. If you would have responded to my will, I would have poured my spirit, my heart, my thought, my word known to you. That's the only way to do it. Have to come to God with the right attitude. Another way, we have to come to God with the right means, right method. How did Paul interpret the scripture? I found out a lot of questions. Very, very unfortunate. We have the Bible in both Chinese and English Bible because we understand two languages. And yet, people don't read the Bible. They read articles. They read magazine. I mean Christian magazine, Christian article. And yet, they don't read the Bible themselves. Do you know why? Because they don't have the right mean. When they open the Bible, they don't understand the Bible. Because they don't have the right attitude. They don't have the right mean, the right method. And I praise God that Paul showed us the right way. The right way to interpret the scripture. Let's take a look at the wrong way. Chapter 2, verse 1. What's the wrong way? When you read the Bible, when you interpret the Bible, when you explain the Bible with adequacy or superior wisdom, you won't understand it. Chapter 2, verse 1, you don't come to God with adequacy or superior wisdom. Okay? Verse 4, another way is wrong way. Paul said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive word. You see that a lot of people, when they preach with wise word. They preach with persuasive word. They lead a lot of people to believe in him, but they go to hell at the end of their life because they don't believe in the word of God. The wrong means, number one, with adequacy or superior wisdom. The wrong means, you think that you use wise word, you use persuasive word, that's the wrong mean. You won't understand God's word. And then, verse 6. We do, however, speak in message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the ruler of this age, who are coming to nothing. Wrong means number 3. If you think that you preach with the wisdom of this age, you preach with the wisdom of the ruler of this age, they are coming to nothing, you preach with this mean, even though you lead a lot of people to follow you, they cannot be saved. This is the wrong way. Wrong way number 4, 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. If you learn from human wisdom and then use your human wisdom to read the Bible, you won't understand the Bible. I give you four means that are wrong way. Now I give you the right way. You have to have the right method to study. Before I give you the right method, I show you a way. But maybe, you know, for those people who are still at university, you still can learn from it. Before you attend in September, you prepare yourself. Now it's July. July, August. You have 60 days. I encourage you, you don't waste your time. If you want to be successful, you go and talk to whatever the faculty you enter into in the university. You ask your friend. If you want to go to medical school, you make friends with the medical student, ask him to see whether he can borrow you some books. You start reading it. I say it one more time. When you read things that you have never learned, it is very, very difficult because you have a barrier. And you say to yourself, you won't understand it. Don't ever say that. You say to yourself, I can understand it. Okay? And that's the attitude I have. I read it. I don't understand, but I don't give up. I read the second time around. I still don't understand. I don't give up. The third time when I read it, I start understanding it. Okay? Before you attend the classes, make sure you read all the textbooks and all the reference books. Prepare yourself ahead of time. And I guarantee you, you're going to enter into the faculty you want to enter into. If you just go and fooling around to go to university and make friends, I mean make girlfriends and boyfriend, you're going to flunk, okay? You're going to be a loser. I told you how to do it at university, and you'll be successful. Now I tell you how to be a good Christian. Before you come to the church, you have 6 days at home. And you know what the Pastor John is preaching. When he finished chapter one, he's going to go to chapter two. You go home and read it yourself. 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters. You read the 16th chapter. If it's 1 Corinthians, you read the 2 Corinthians too. You read it numerous times. The first time you read, you won't understand. Second time you read it, you start to understand a little bit. Third time you read it, you understand. But the fourth time you listen to the preacher to preach, you know where the material comes from. You know why he's saying what he's saying. Then you can master the material. And later on, you can teach other people. You can either be a loser, or you can either be an overcomer. I show you how to be a good engineer. If you want to be a good engineer, you better read the building code. If you don't know the building code, you are a loser. You understand? If someone say that you're wrong, as long as you do it according to the building code, they are wrong. You are right. You understand? You want to be a good Christian? You read the Bible. You don't read magazine. You want to be a good engineer? You know the building code. You know what you're talking about. You want to go to medical school? You don't read any other article. You read the textbook. You read the medical article. You understand? You spend time. You spend a lot of time on that. You know where I learned it from? I learned it from Daniel. Daniel is a very successful man. In the book of Daniel, 12th chapter. He's a diligent man. He's a hard worker. He's second to the throne. And he knows what he's talking about. Okay? Now, I give you the right mean. I want you to write that down. What's the right mean? Number one. Verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In order for you to understand God's Word, to understand the Bible, you have to say to yourself, God's Spirit, understand God's thought, understand God's Word, understand God's covenant, understand God's mind. I have to have the Spirit of God. I have to have the Spirit of God in order for me to understand God's Word. Now, I want you to write that down right beside God's Spirit. How can I get God's Spirit? According to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14, you have to hear the gospel. The gospel can save your life. When you hear the gospel, then you start to know who Jesus Christ is. When you realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe in it, when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one and only Son sent from God, from heaven, and down to earth, so as to die on the cross for my sin, when you believe in it, Paul said, and God will give you His Spirit. God will give you His Spirit. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you heard of it, it's not good enough. You have to believe in it. Having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. In other words, when you believe in what you hear and you accept that, you humble yourself and believe in what God has said to you. Once you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then God is going to mark you with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not understand God's Word. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Okay? You have the mind of these ages. You have the mind of the ruler of these ages. Doesn't help you to understand God's Word. If the pastor understands this statement, they won't quote what George Washington say, what the president say. I don't quote what the president so-and-so said. I quote what God say in the Scripture. If you understand God's Word, you won't make a fool of yourself to say things that doesn't help people to understand. The wisdom of this age, the wisdom of the ruler of this age, they all come to nothing. You don't quote what they say, they are dead men. You quote what the living Word, living God is saying. That saves people's life. You know what? In the company that I served for at that time when I was an engineer, The principal engineer, the owner, and the other engineer, senior engineer, make a mistake, okay? And the parquet in the Lloydminster, there's crack in there. And he hired me, and I'm glad they have a problem, so he hired me, and then I do it. At that time, I just come back from Hong Kong, so I know the British standard. I also study the building code of Australia. I know what it is. I get my education in Canada, all the building code in Canada, learn from US, copy from US. So I know what's the US building code. I know the Canadian building code. According to the Canadian building code, we make the mistake. That's wrong. That's why it's cracked. But according to the British code, we can barely make it. So when their packer, you know, check our company and they talk to me, he know that I know the stuff. He did not condemn the company. He just say, now you two, you make a mistake. You cannot stand the drawing anymore. I have to take your license out. and John Lam can do it. Why? Because I know my material. You understand? I not only know the material in US, I know the material in Canada. I know in Australia. I know in Hong Kong. Right? You know your material. Because people are going to challenge you. You don't know your material, you're not going anywhere. You can lie. You can deceive others. But you cannot deceive the building code. Right? When I preach, I don't preach anything other than what the Bible says. Okay? Because the Bible can save your life. Gospel is the gospel of your salvation. Can save your life. You believe in that gospel. God promised you, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Ever since you believe in God, then you start understand God's word. You don't understand God's word with the spirit of this age, with the spirit of the ruler of this age. Because in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the spirit that within me is stronger, greater, better than the spirit of this world. All right? The spirit of this world is evil spirit. The spirit within us is the Holy Spirit given from God. Okay? Mean number one, you have to have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, then you start understand God's word. I keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. There are two kinds of spirit. Spirit of the world and spirit of God. Right beside spirit of the world, I want you to write that down. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one in the world is the spirit of the world. When you speak by the spirit of the worldly people will understand you. But when you speak by the spirit of God, the worldly people will not understand you unless he turn around and repent and receive Jesus Christ and then receive the Holy Spirit, then he start understand God's word. And that is the right way, and that's the only way in order to be saved. Now go back. Verse 12, Paul said that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Now I want to go back. Right beside, then we may understand what God has freely given us. Go back to verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I want you to write that down right beside who love him. When you love him, he's going to prepare things that you have never seen, you have never heard, you have never heard, and you have never conceived in your mind. He will give you things that you have never heard of. Only the Holy Spirit will tell you that. I want you to write that down right beside love him. How can we love him? Do you remember Deuteronomy I told you last week? Chapter 10, verse 12. Step number one, you fear the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, you will never love him. You fear him first. follow after me. You want to love the Lord? You fear him first. Okay? You fear him, then you start loving him. Why? When you fear him, number two, you obey his word, his command. I'll give you one illustration. When I come to know Christ, and someone tell me, you have to go to a prayer meeting, I go to prayer meeting. He tell me, you go to the church, you have to give 1/10 of your offering. I give 1/10 of my offering. And then he say, when you go to a church, you have to attend fellowship. I attend fellowship. He said that when you go to the church, you have to preach the gospel too. Tell other people what you have believed. I preach the gospel too. I did all these things that he asked me. And then that's how I grow. When I do my offering, I get blessing. When I hear the preacher say, on top of the 1/10 of the offering, you give faith offering. You believe that God will bless you for that, you give it to him and see whether he's going to bless you. If he didn't bless you, you don't give. So I write that down, $3,000 on top of the 10 offering. I write that down, $3,000. And then all of a sudden, I lost the job. How can I get $3,000? And then when I lost the job, then I want to go and look for a job. The Lord said to me, no, you don't look for a job. You stay at home. Read the Bible first. So I read the Bible. And after 3 months later, the Lord said to me, now you go and look for a job. The first job that I made, I worked for J.K. Campbell. And I sent him an invoice for 2 days of work, $3,000. So when I sent him the invoice, $3,000, a week later he paid me. And when I received the check, I say, shall I give just 1/10, which is $300? I keep $2,700. Then the Lord remind me, isn't it that you write down the faith pledge? $3,000? This is what it is. So I just submit that $3,000. When I submit the $3,000, you know what's the next job? The next job I get is from Imperial Oil. I work for them for 3 months. I get $60,000. $60,000. If you don't obey him, you don't fear him, you don't obey him, don't tell me you love him. I love him because he what? He loved me first. Take a look at the step. Step number one, you want to love God? First of all, you fear the Lord. Whatever he say to you, you obey it. Once you obey, you get the blessing. Then you start talking about love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. Step number three, love him. You know what? If you never experience God's blessing, how can you love him? If he didn't even bless you, how can you love him? You love him because he loved you first. He blessed you first. Now, once you love him, step number four, you will serve him. These are the four steps to prosperity, man. You fear him first. You don't fear him, you don't get any blessing. No blessing, how can you love him? This is not what I say. This is what Moses say in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. I memorize it because I experience it. I will never forget because that promises belongs to me. It works. Same as when I follow the building code, no one can attack me. It works. It works. Okay. Now go back. Let's hear what, let us understand what God has freely given us. Verse 12, read that again. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. I want you to write that down. What God has freely given us, what are they? You write down. Verse 9 and 10. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. When you love the Lord, God will prepare the best things for you. Okay? On top of what I just mentioned to you in my personal experience. And then I want you to go back a step further in verse 7. No, we speak God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. We only hear from pastor that if you believe in Jesus Christ, believe that he is the one and only Son from God, sent from heaven and died on the cross for you, then you have what? What do you have? Wesley. Are you daydreaming? A little bit. When you believe Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, what do you have? Speak louder. Holy Spirit. And what else? Eternal life. That's all we hear, right? Until you read the Bible, chapter 2, verse 7. God has destined you for glory before time began. You don't read the scripture, you won't understand. Some pastors, they don't even know. If they know, they have spoken about that. They don't know, they can't say that. You know what? He may not have the Holy Spirit within his heart. Because if he has the Holy Spirit within his heart, the Holy Spirit will reveal to him. You believe Jesus is the Christ? You don't just get eternal life. You don't just get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you God destined for you for glory before time began. Then you're going to search for it. What kind of glory are you talking about? I tell you what kind of glory you're talking about, okay? That kind of glory. Number one, eternal life. That's a glory. Won't die. You won't die anymore. Number two, eternal inheritance. You know what? When your father passed away, he leave you wealth and houses. That wealth and houses will gone. It's not eternal inheritance. Okay? But the inheritance that God gave it to you is eternal. Do you know what I mean by eternal? I don't think you understand. Do you know what? Let's say, assuming this building, you're going to inherit this building. I don't know how long is this building. Maybe 30 years old. If it's 30 years old, you have to change the new roof. It's going to be very costly. Okay, look at all the paint is dripping off, right? Maintenance cost is very, very expensive too. Because it didn't last eternally. But if God gives you an inheritance that is eternal, you don't need any maintenance. No maintenance. You understand? That's glory. On top of that, and God gives you the power to reign with him eternally. God is king. King of all kings, and you reign with Jesus Christ as king in the small area. It depends how faithful you serve God. When you're daydreaming at home, don't daydreaming when I'm preaching. Okay? It's amazing. Number three, eternal kingship. You don't have to believe in me. All you have to do, remember that. And then you start reading Genesis all the way to Revelation. You see that three blessings. That is the glory God destined for you before time began. You study it yourself. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they don't understand how to understand the Bible. Now, at least you know that without the Holy Spirit, you won't understand the Bible. Now, I want to say one more time. Not everyone who believes in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. Why? Acts chapter 8, the Samaritan, they believe Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. Has they been baptized? Yes, they've been baptized. Until Peter and John come, then they ask them, do you have the Holy Spirit? They say, no, I don't. Same thing, that is chapter 8 or Acts. Chapter 19, same thing. Do they believe Jesus Christ? Yeah, they believe Jesus Christ. But they baptized by the name of the John the Baptist. So Paul has to baptize them again. Do they have the Holy Spirit? They don't. Let me tell you one thing. Those Christians, they claim themselves to be Christian, and yet that when they read the Bible, they don't understand. Very likely, they haven't even had the Holy Spirit yet. Now, I want you to write that down in the Bible, okay? Make sure you don't make a fool of yourself. You call Pastor John. I want to be made sure. When I believe in Jesus Christ, I have the Holy Spirit. He said, Pastor John, isn't it you told me that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, to those who believe, having believed, God going to mark you with his seal of ownership and give you the promised Holy Spirit. And how come I don't get it? Because people daydreaming in a church. I tell you the reason, okay? First, type that Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to you, whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And how come God so loved the world and give his Son to everyone who believe in him, and yet I say that I believe in him and I don't have his Son? Do you know why? Because you don't pray. When God say that, God give it to you, doesn't mean that you get it. You have to say, yeah, this is what you give it to me. Will you please give it to me now? I want that. Then you get it. You don't pray, you don't get it. This is a biblical principle. You have to ask, then you get it. Why? You write that down. Write that down. 3:16, Gospel of John. I say you have to ask. You write down Romans 10:14. If I don't even believe in Jesus, I won't even ask of him. I won't even pray. If I don't even believe that he will give me this gift, I won't even ask. The reason why I ask, the reason why I pray, because I believe in it. When I believe in it, I ask for it. Give it to me. I believe that you give this promise to me. I also want you to write that down. Don't just believe in one Bible verses. Believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. No matter how many promises there are in Christ Jesus, as long as you pray about that, you ask God to give it to you, then you get it. You don't ask, you don't get it. Should you come to prayer meeting and ask? Should you? I will go and ask. All right? A lot of people, they thought they understand God's word. They don't. They don't even have it. They don't even know that.
When people say you are not saved, they feel very angry. Don't feel angry. Humble yourself. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth, honor, and life and prosperity. Amen. When people say you don't have it, you don't have it. He knows what he's talking about. You have to ask for it. When you ask for it, you're going to get it. I ask for it because I believe in it. I believe in it, I get it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, without belief in it, you cannot please God. If I believe in it, I please God, I got it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, whatever I do, if I do it pleasing God, I know I will get what I ask of him. Because I did think that pleases him. He loved me to come to him and ask for it. He wanted me to be humble. You have to ask of it. Ask him, Lord, give it to me, please. I want to understand the Bible myself. I want to read it myself. It's okay to get the information secondhand. But all your life to get the information secondhand, that is no good. Do you understand, Gene? You want to get the information secondhand or firsthand? Firsthand or secondhand? You want me to, you know, when I think of that, I vomit, okay? When I was young, and my mother has a maid in our household, you know, to help to feed the child, and I still remember that nanny, you know, 食粥的,很熱的粥,我又去吃了, I'm so stupid, you know, because so hot, okay, you just want to put it in her mouth first, make it warmer, okay, you want that? No thank you, why would I want no thank you? This is what I'm doing to you now, I feed you with baby food. Unless you go home and study yourself, no thank you, no thank you. Now you understand what I'm trying to say, no thank you. Are you eating baby food? Right now, yes. You want to keep on eating baby food? So, Gene, are you eating baby food? You enjoy eating baby food? Go back. Verse 9. No eyes have seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. When you love him, he destined for your glory. Before time began, he gave you glory. How do I know that? In verse 10. Because God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you know that. You not only receive eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. If you obey him, you're going to receive God's glory. That glory, God destined for you before time began. And that's the glory you have to search for. That's the glory you're looking forward to receive. And then verse 15. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things. I want you to write that down right beside the spiritual man. Who is he? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes judgment about all things, but Jesus Christ himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. When you come before God in witness, humble yourself, God's power will rest upon you. When you come before God in fear and trembling, and God's Spirit will come upon you. Because God's Spirit is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, according to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Jesus Christ was so filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and power, Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. When you come before God with fear, that means you come before God with the expectation to receive the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, 1:7. In Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of wisdom. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't understand the scripture. So that's why we all need to come before God and ask God to give us the Holy Spirit. You say, you promised me, anyone who believes Jesus Christ has received the Holy Spirit. I want you to do the exercise at home. Ask yourself, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you don't, you call me. I will pray for you and lay hand on you. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, and you will be able to read the Bible and enjoy it and understand it, because God will reveal His truth. God will reveal to you. God will make you understand what He has freely given you, His glory, His eternal life, His eternal kingship, His eternal inheritance. That's the glory that we all receive. Everybody say, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to learn from Paul in witness, in fear and trembling, and then serve you with the Holy Spirit and preach to other people with the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we all get the same kind of blessing. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.